Good morning, everybody. I know. Pastor Daniel just still running around. Well, good morning again. I know I already said that once, well, twice, three times now. But it's so good to be with you this morning. I get the privilege of preaching this morning, as Emily mentioned. Of course, I was supposed to preach last week, but we bumped everything back. And so here I am on this, the second Sunday in February, and it so happens to be Super Bowl Sunday, and I'm going to be honest, I forgot. I totally spaced. I have no references to that, so if you were hoping for that, some sort of Super Bowl reference day, sorry, I don't have anything. But, you know, I think it's going to be fine. We're still in our Hearing God series, and I'm going to, how much longer we got? Is this it? We're going to keep going. I knew that. This is not the end. Let me pray. I want to pray for us before we get in and talk about hearing God this morning. Because, you know, it seems difficult, and praying is part of that. And so, it seems like we should do that. So let's do it. God, we're so grateful to get to be together again this morning. I just ask that you would just open our ears this morning, that we would hear from you. From whatever context we're coming from, whatever it is that we grab onto this morning, God, just give us something that helps us to know more about who you are and who you're calling us to be, and encourages us to live more like the people you've created us to be. Give us a word, something, Lord. Speak to us, and may we listen. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This morning, I want that to be lower, but I don't think it can be. This morning, I've titled my sermon, Adding to the Noise. And if you, some people have already actually come up to me, they saw in the, whatever that app is called, the Bible app, that it was called that. And anyone who knows me knows that I'm just a huge Switchfoot fan. And the band, it's a band, and the band Switchfoot is like, That's my jam. And they have a song called Adding to the Noise. And I really just thought we should just rip it this morning and that would be it, you know, sermon over, but it kind of says like, if we're adding to the noise, turn off this song. And that's kind of how I feel this morning. Like if there's a lot of noise out there, right? We're just constantly bombarded by stuff in our world, in this information age that we live in. And if you're feeling like that, if you're like, and here I am doing that, doing more of that, blah, 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 noise, noise, noise. If you're feeling like it's just noise, you know, just turn it off, move on. You don't have to listen to me. I'd love it if you did, but don't feel like you have to. It's not going to hurt my feelings. But boy, it is noisy in our world, huh? We live in this information age, right, where everything is accessible to us at all times, and we've got these little computer pockets that we carry around, and we're just always bombarded by noise. And you would think the more stuff that you can hear, the more you would know or the more you would be able to hear, right? But it's too much, and it makes it harder to hear. And so as I was thinking about adding to the noise this morning, and if I'm going to add to the noise, can I add something that's beneficial, or am I going to just make more noise? And so that's what I tried to do, is not make more noise, but say something worthwhile. I've noticed a common thread. If you've been a part of our services throughout the Hearing God series, I personally have noticed a common thread, and that common thread is that hearing God seems really hard. Has anybody else picked up on that? I feel like every week that we're talking about this, it's like, hey, here's the bottom line. Hearing God is difficult. Like, it's hard. Nearly impossible, even, it seems. Some of us, you know, have these encounters and we're like, man, yes, I really feel strongly like I heard God there. And then others of us, maybe who have been pursuing this our whole lives, are like, I don't think I've ever heard God, like, truthfully. I just don't even know what that sounds like. And so it's difficult, right? As I was preparing this week, I thought of, anybody seen Moneyball? You know, the movie Moneyball? Love that movie. There's a scene when the coach, Billy Bean, is trying to is trying to recruit, what's his name, Scott Hatteberg. He was a catcher, and he's trying to convince him to be a first baseman, which is ridiculous. And he sits down with him. If you know this scene, you're going to know what I'm talking about. And he just says, Scotty, it's not that hard. And then he looks at his assistant, and he says, tell him, Wash. And Wash says, it's incredibly hard. and then Billy Beane says, well, anything worth doing is. And that's kind of how I feel as I'm approaching this morning. Like, you know, I feel like a lot of times we're like, ah, it's not that hard. You know, just read the scriptures or pray or something. And then it's like, right, Daniel? It's incredibly hard. But anything worthwhile, worth doing, is. So that's kind of where we're going to start this morning. It is incredibly hard, but worthwhile. And I just want to kind of just briefly touch on three reasons why I personally think it is incredibly hard. And then pull back from that and just say one of the ways that my anxiety is relieved. And I hope that as you hear how difficult it is, as you've been hearing how difficult it is, maybe you're feeling a little anxious, like, oh, how do I know? How do I hear from God? So I'm going to give you three reasons, and I'm going to pull back, hopefully ease your anxiety as mine is eased personally by explaining my process of how I feel comfortable in hearing God in my life. So here we go. You ready? Let's dive in. Reason number one why it's difficult. It'd be cool if I had a PowerPoint, right? I don't. Reason number one, the enormity of our smallness in the scope of the universe is literally incalculable. You're really small. I don't know if you've ever been told that. I know I've said that before from this platform here. We are so small. Like, I think scientists say that there are as many stars in the sky as there are grains of sand on all of Earth. Next time you want to feel small on vacation, maybe don't do this on vacation. That may not help you. I don't know. You know, go to the beach, pick up some sand, and just count what's in your hand. Count the grains of sand in your hand. See how that goes. I've never tried it. I imagine it's going to be really difficult. You might not even be able to. I don't know. Never tried. Seems like a lot. We're so small. How then can we even begin to process something from the one who made it all? The God who is above all and in all and through all. How? It seems impossible, right? That's reason number one. Pretty simple. We're small. It's tough. Reason number two, not only are we small, but we have to translate everything we experience with our five senses through just something we made up in our brains. Language is just made up. We have all had these experiences throughout all of time, and humans just took sounds and groans and symbols, and we just created language, and we just made it all up. We're processing literally all of our lived experiences through something that's just made up. We just made it up as humanity. All of us, you know, made up different languages that have different experiences that mean different things throughout time, right? It's really complicated to even understand someone who speaks the same language as us but comes from a different culture sometimes, much less a culture from before ours or a different language. Our language is limiting. We are limited by language. I was talking to my daughter June recently. She was teaching me about Mandarin Chinese because she's studying Mandarin. And they don't have letters. I was asking her something about, they have characters, right? That if anybody knows anything about Mandarin, I didn't really. But they have characters that represent each word. I'm like, so they just have a different character for literally every word. And she was explaining to me how, well, they have, each character is comprised of a certain set of strokes. Like, not letters really, but there's different strokes. And those are kind of the closest thing that they have to our letters. They don't have letters. I couldn't get past it. I still can't. I don't know. Maybe it's not as mind-boggling to you as it is to me, but I'm like, how do you make a word? Well, it's characters. and the characters mean things, and I just, that blew my mind. Anyway, language is so complicated, and there's this whole other system, and that's just one of the systems of different languages. Okay, so let's pull back and just, let's just sit in English for a minute, and let's talk about some language that is the most important to us as Christians, and that's the scriptures, right? So we have the scriptures that is this beautiful set of books, letters that were given to us throughout centuries, and it's an incredible resource to know who God is and who he's calling us to be. But just in English, there's almost 500 modern translations of the Bible in English. That's not even accounting for other languages. All of those translations, probably most of them, are in many different languages. So even just the one thing, the scriptures that are so dear to us, that even that one thing is incredibly difficult for us to take this language and to turn it into meaning. Not only that, but that's just in our modern context. The Bible was written, you know, almost 2,000 years ago, more than that for parts of it, less than that for some, in a completely different culture, in a completely different time, with different sets of ideologies, languages. So you might sit here and think, it's not that hard, Scotty. No, it's incredibly hard. It is. It's difficult to understand these things. So that's reason number two. It's tough. I know I'm like building the anxiety, making it worse, but I promise we're going somewhere. If all that wasn't enough, the language, our smallness, nowadays we have the algorithm. You know what I'm talking about. The almighty algorithm. It is feeding us all day, every day, like it or not. Everything that we see in the news, on our phones, it's all data-driven, and it is using an algorithm to pump in what we want to see. And it's putting us in, like, it's trying to force us into our tiny little echo chambers. And it's feeding us information that sometimes is just wrong. Other times, it's like, that's an angle. You know, everybody's got an angle. And other times, you know, maybe it is right. But who's to say? I don't know. Whoever is building the algorithm, you know? It's just all around us all the time. As I mentioned before, we live in this information age where you would think, oh, if we just have all the information, we could know the things. But that's, I mean, you guys know, right? You know, we're all on the same page about this, right? You can't. I mean, who knows the things that we see that we maybe think are true? I mean, there's a lot of it out there. There is a lot of news and a lot of contradictory messaging. And as a great humanitarian and philosopher once said, all the noise, noise, noise. Huh? Yeah. And I did say humanitarian. I hope you got that. With all this going on, my goodness, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to hear anything? We can't even hear each other these days. How on earth are we supposed to hear from the divine? The one who is above all and through all and in all. It seems impossible, right? I think there is one thing. And I told Daniel as I was preparing this sermon, like, I feel like I only ever preach about one thing. And I feel silly for doing that. But there is a language that transcends all time. There is a language that transcends all languages, all cultures, every word, groan, type of meaning out there. And that is the language of love. And that is what we have been called to by Jesus. The simplest text in all of our scriptures is when Jesus says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. No matter what noise we hear, no matter what thoughts we have, no matter how much doctrine or theology or or political awareness we think we have, it all comes back to this twofold love of God, to love others as ourselves. If we don't run everything that we do, everything that we read, everything that we think through this lens, then I think we've missed the point. I think we're just adding to the noise. Augustine said it this way, an early church father. He says, "Whoever then thinks that he understands the Holy Scriptures or any part of them, but puts such an interpretation upon them as does not tend to build up this twofold love of God and neighbor, does not understand them as he ought." Guys, we have a lot of different thoughts. We all come from different places. We were all raised differently. Even in this community, even if you grew up in the same school, the same neighborhood, we all had different homes, we all had different families, we all had different sets of values, maybe only a little bit different, but we all come from different places. No matter what, we are going to think differently. And some of those differences are going to be about things that we might hold as really, really important. And so how do we split it up? How do we prevent ourselves from just adding to the noise or from just listening to the noise and becoming consumed by the noise and becoming convinced by the algorithm? This is how John put it. In 1 John 4, John is the disciple known as the one whom Jesus loved. John is called the beloved. John, he was about love, right? And this is the last thing I'm going to say today, because this is what I want you to hear. If all of the rest of it was noise, I hope that you hear this. In 1 John 4, he says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." Maybe you could change that last part, not to "no one has ever seen God," but maybe for you it's like, man, I don't feel like I've ever heard God. I don't know what that sounds like. Well, if we love one another, whether you think you've heard him or not, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. So whatever the noise is, whatever the confusion is, whatever the algorithm's feeding you, I hope that what you hear this morning is to filter it all through love. Loving God and neighbor, this twofold love is what we are called to above and beyond everything else. Sure, there's more to it than that. But if that's all we hear, if that's all we can really be sure about, then let's be sure about it and let's act on it. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you so much for this gift that I personally have already mentioned three times today. I just can't thank you enough. We're so grateful for it. Community, for this space that we get to come to, for the ritual, for the tradition, for the weekly bookmark to say, hey, we're going to come together, we're going to build each other up, and we are going to experience, receive, and give your love. God, we ask that you would just speak to us this morning, that we would be able to filter through all the noise, and that we would be people known for love. Not because we loved you first, but because you loved us first. You showed us who you are and who you're calling us to be. May we live into that with every breath and with every step. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to